Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features. I think it's episode 274. But for some reason, Kevin's not here to introduce us. So you got me, Brian Brown, all the way on from the set of FX3, which is imaginary in my head, but it is happening, people. Who's with me tonight? I have Flying Brian Doug, whose real name is Brian, but he doesn't know yet. I have Flying Brian Prynn. His real name is Daniel, but he doesn't know it yet. Hey. And I have the McBride, whose real name is Brian McBride. Welcome to the show, and let's discuss FX3, guys.
Okay, who's Flying Brian?
Well, I know, wait, wasn't Brian Dennehy in those with him?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, okay. I'm Brian Dennehy. I feel honored. Wait, he's dead. He just died.
Yes, I don't want to be him.
He died this year. I don't think you want to be him.
Well, McBride could be Rachel Tinton. She was in an episode. She's in a couple.
Is this Final Fantasy?
I think no for that. Thank you.
And he could be, what was her name? Gleason. Joanna Gleason could be Prynn. We're good to go.
What show is this? I'm sorry.
It's actually a couple of movies. There are movies called FX about a special effects guy who solved crimes using Hollywood special effects.
Oh, okay.
I remember is he made a pool ball jump out of one of the holes and hit a guy in the face off a pool table.
Oh, okay.
Little do you know, guys, they were filmed in Toronto, both films.
I knew that.
And I'm on the set of FX2.
You're on there now?
Waiting for Brian Brown to come out of his trailer. This is a story for you guys.
Oh.
And it must have been half an hour of him talking to somebody and doing this crazy thing with his hands, a half an hour, and came out and couldn't have been, like, nicer to me. But it gets even better. I started collecting autographs in 1987. My first film set ever was FX. So my first two celebrities I met on a film set were Brian Dennehy and Joanna Gleason right after another walking off the set. So that's my story. That's it. But I have a better story. So you guys know what I do for my day job. So I'm delivering to the same house every day. There's a bunch of contractors. You know, they're chatty. I chat to them. I don't think anything of it. So last week, the contractor goes, "Hey, I need to talk to you." I'm like, "Okay, well, what can I help you with?" He's like, "Oh, I sell life insurance on the side. I'm not just a contractor." And hands me his business card. And I'm thinking to myself, going, you renovate kitchens and bathrooms. But on the side, you're trying to sell me a guy's name you don't even know, life insurance.
Does that mean, because something could fall on you and you'd have to be insured for it when he's renovating the bathroom?
He's just going to try to kill you now.
Now, I just want to know, is this like street meat? I don't really know what I'm getting if I buy this life insurance.
Probably. Speaking of street meat, they have one at the town center. They have all these trucks.
Right, but do they try to sell me life insurance at the same time is really my question.
They might. You never know.
I mean, if it's too spicy, you know, they might you just go around to the back of the truck, be like, ah, okay.
Just be wary if he says to make out the checks to him personally.
That's when I should be nervous. Well, I didn't go any further. Now, I also want to discuss, I'm watching Loki.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first two episodes. Probably my favorite series Marvel's released so far. Doug?
I'd agree with you on that. I've only seen the first two so far. Third episode just dropped today. Haven't watched that one yet.
I have also watched the third episode, and I'm going to be in trouble for saying this because I'm always doggy on this actor. But without Owen Wilson, I didn't like it as much.
You know what? Owen Wilson is who my son Owen is named after. So there you go.
Oh, there, one to grow on.
Yes.
So, I can't let that go.
Wow.
Hold on.
Is that his middle name? Wow.
Well, his middle name is Wesley, so my wife and I are big fans of Wes Anderson films. So,
Wes. His initials are Al?
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty funny.
Actually, they're Al.
That's great.
That didn't come out too well. Oh, wow.
Okay, so since I'm in a new recording place tonight, which is very rarely, but every once in a while I get stuck here, what's our first movie today, Mr. Perrin?
It's 2-1, by the way. I thought you would like to know.
That actually is important, but thank you. For people who want to know, we're recording the last night, probably the Islanders ever playing in the Nassau Coliseum. And being the diehard Islander Canadian living in Toronto, I can't watch the game because we've changed recording dates. So that was my fault for changing the recording date. I accept it, so I can't watch my game. But thank you for telling me. So people want to know if a score comes up or I get really excited at one point randomly about like the cooler, and it's not really supposed to be about the
when
cooler.
When did you move to Toronto?
A little
apples
while
and oranges. Oh, okay. I didn't think Durham was part of Toronto, that's all, you know.
But before we get into the films, did you guys have a good Father's Day?
Yeah, I can't complain.
No, I didn't, Prin, because I thought you were coming to visit me. I waited all day with an open bottle of scotch.
Supposed to visit me? What are you talking about?
Two glasses waiting for you and nothing.
I missed so many memos.
Where glasses? Where's my glass?
I was busy trying to go over the border scotch to visit Doug.
Why would I drink scotch when I'm Irish? Oh.
You want whiskey? We'll have whiskey when you come over. I'm good with that. I had scotch for Mr. Prin if he came over.
You can have my whiskey and you can have Daniel's scotch. Daniel might have his scotch.
To oblige you, I would have the drink in my hand, and when you were looking the other way, just... behind my head.
No.
Don't waste a perfectly good scotch.
Don't waste scotch. Don't waste my $60 scotch.
I have a shirt.
If you don't drink scotch, please tell me you don't drink it, and I won't give it to you. That'd be a waste.
Cause that's true.
I don't drink it.
Mr. Brian Dennehy over here would drink the scotch with me.
Yes.
I have a shirt. I think I've probably worn it before on the show, but I have a shirt that's some Super Mario, and he's Mario, and he's dressed as Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, and he's like,
You have not worn it. I expect to see it next episode. Oh, our listeners need to see it.
I got it when I was like 250 pounds, so it's huge.
Perfect.
I could like wear it as a parachute. I know some people.
Just hang it up in the background.
Are we getting to our actual show?
Yes. Let's.
Do you have a film, or are we just here for general nonsense discussion?
Oh, always nonsense. Speaking about up in the background, let's go into the heights. Yeah, there's got to be a lot of cringe if I'm doing the transition, sir. I won't tell you right now. Directed by John M. Chu, based on a musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and screenplay by Quera Alegria Hudes. Sorry, Quaria. Starring Anthony Ramos, Melissa Barrera, Leslie Grace, Corey Hawkins, Olga Meredes, Jimmy Smits, Gregory Diaz, Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Mark Anthony, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, to all those people.
Exactly. It's interesting seeing Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine in such a different light.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to start off by asking, can anybody actually tell me what the story of this movie was?
It was a story?
New York.
No.
Yeah. New York.
I think it's just New York stories that they're
The cast of La La Land moved from L.A. to New York. That's all it was.
I don't know. It sets up a lot of things, but doesn't pay off everything. And I also wonder, can Lin sue himself for plagiarism? That very first opening song, I expected to end one of the verses with, "What's your name, man?" It just sounded... Hamilton, I guess, came second chronologically, but it felt like he stole a lot of the musicality from himself when writing Hamilton. I don't know. I was not a fan of this. It was too long. I didn't really get all the stories. A lot of stuff was set up, not paid off. Like, we don't know what his, I guess, cousin's illegal status is. We just know he was fighting it, but that was never paid off at the end. And the whole thing about him being illegal came up at the very end of the film. There was nothing. It wasn't set up at all. I don't know. I didn't like the movie.
Yes.
But Kevin.
Kevin is in the house, Kevin. People. I'm the sorry, FX relaunch is now ended.
Oh my gosh. Within
a storage unit. Working.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Wow. So, Kevin, we're doing In the Heights. What did you think?
I loved it. I loved the music. I realize he wrote it before Hamilton, but I think he learned a lot from Hamilton in the staging and the way that it was presented on film. I liked it. I thought the music was great. I thought the casting was fantastic. I liked the setting. You know, no complaints. Great acting.
Wow. Okay.
Am I the only one?
We haven't asked. I want to hear McBride.
So far, you're the only one.
McBride, you're up.
I'm gonna have to agree with Doug, and I'm basically out of the five of us, I'm the musical, movie musical fan. But right from the start, I started watching it, and I'm going, this is just LA, not LA, La La Land all over again, but set in New York. Like, and then there was the scene in the park where they were in the fountain, and I was just thinking, like, they're ripping off like the old movie musicals. When in like who was it, Ethel Williams, the swimming scenes, and I'm going, this is just like they're borrowing from every single movie musical, including but not limited to West Side Story, where the heck is it?
Rent.
Yeah, pretty much everything. So I'm with Doug. Like it's unless I'm getting cynical on movie musicals, I didn't enjoy it either. Which is surprising for me.
Does Mr. Prune have any comments before I go on?
Sure. I am more on Kevin's side. I liked the film. I liked the homages. I enjoyed it even though it's pretty long. Like, Doug, I think I was texting you that you told me that you thought it was wrapping up after one scene and you were like, oh, there's 50 minutes left. I thought the same, but I still enjoyed the musicals enough, and I liked the characters. I liked the music enough, and I liked the characters enough, and I liked seeing Usnavi?
Usnavi, yes.
Usnavi.
Named after
good
a ship.
Good morning, Usnavi.
I like that story of being named after the U.S. Navy. I thought that was kind of funny.
The kids, they thought it was
Yeah, funny. Yeah. I just like the culture here. I just thought it was interesting. I thought the characters were interesting. I liked the story of chasing their dreams. I have to agree. There's not like a clear storyline other than just an ensemble of stories of different people trying to chase their dreams. And I think that works for a musical like this. It's very ambitious. I'm chopping at the screen because there's a Tsetse Fly. I got him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. But yeah, no, I like the film. It could have been could have been 20 minutes shorter, and I would have loved it more, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. I liked some of the film. I think it's solid, but I liked some. I love Lin-Manuel's writing. I could tell when he wrote a song and some random wrote a song. I'm kind of like, I have a lot of issues that this borrows, I think, from Indian film. Do you know what I mean? Like, they go do something and they have to have a dance. Whenever something happens, they have to have a dance.
Slumdog I'm kind of like,
yes. And that kind of stuff. Yeah. I enjoyed the characters. I like the one, Jimmy Smith's daughter, I quite liked. I thought she was really good. I don't think that's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine woman, or maybe it is.
No,
she was one of the hairdressers.
Yeah, the one with the higher voice, even though in the show she has like
very.
I thought she had a good storyline. I thought that was interesting. I liked the love story. The love story worked for me. I like the way they set the film up, and I like the way they ended the film, because I really didn't think that was – I was trying to figure out how they were going to end it. I really was like – I thought it was kind of tense at the end. Yeah, the immigration storyline I thought was just kind of dumped in there.
Yeah.
And they don't wrap it up, and I'm like, I think we're supposed to assume he stays for some reason, because they have the ability to keep him to stay now.
I did hear that that was something new added for the film that wasn't in the Broadway show.
Actually, I had another problem with it. They just seemed to burst into song. Like, you know when you see a movie and they just burst into song for no reason? That's what I got out of this, and that's why I was having a problem with it.
But isn't that every single movie musical? Yeah. Isn't that the rules? They're just whenever they're feeling emotions, what if I sing it in a song?
Yeah,
like in The Mask, he randomly breaks into song. That's, do you have a problem with that?
Just for this movie, it was just too much.
Wait, too much musical for the movie Musical Man?
Yes, it happens.
My favorite song though, I will say, was the Abuela's song when she dies and she's in the subway. Yeah. I loved all that.
Yeah.
However, after that scene, I thought the movie was going to be wrapping up in 10, 15 minutes. I saw there was still about an hour left. I said, this is that. I stopped it and didn't watch it for another 5 days. So
I feel that.
Hang on. I did like the lotto number. I think that was my favorite number in the movie, with the big lotto number. But I thought it was kind of weird that. Oh. Well, the women were supposed to be leaving. They had the moving truck. They're all moving. I'm like, oh, I guess that's just going to be a quick scene. Nope. 20-minute dance number just breaks out up for there. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Was that the one at the pool? Or a different one, sorry. With the long number?
No, that's when they're having the heat wave and they had no power.
Oh, with the blackout? Okay.
Yeah, and the blackout, they keep saying, how many days until the blackout? And I'm going, okay, move it up. Move it along. You could have skipped that part.
And I will say the one musical number towards the end with Benny and Nina when they're dancing through the park, they just stop in the middle of a basketball court and there's people playing. I wanted somebody to just elbow them or something. Yeah, just get out of the way if they really want to show New York.
What's not the one they're on the building? It threw me totally out of the movie. The one where they're on the building dancing.
Oh yeah, the Spider-Verse kind of gravity. I'm
like, this makes no sense. Why are we doing this? Like, this film is so reality based, and then we're suddenly going off into this weird tangent of dancing on the ceiling.
I wouldn't say it was all reality based.
There was just chasing dreams, right?
Cloth flying through the air during one of what's her name's, Vanessa, was it Vanessa?
I think it's either Vanessa or Nina. I think it's Vanessa, because she wanted
one
to be
cloth
designer.
As opposed to us doing climbing up and down a building is a little different.
That scene with the little animation when they were talking was pretty cool too, that little style. I can't remember what song that was.
I liked Corey Hawkins' taxi driver thing at the beginning. I thought was really well done. So I think you're out on this one. I like this film, and I gave it a recommend, which is shocking to me. I hated it.
No,
so
I was with Doug on that one. So Doug's not alone.
I will personally recommend Hamilton. I will not recommend it.
Well, Hamilton's phenomenal. We're comparing like a steak dinner to a double quarter pounder with cheese. Like, you're really, that's what you're getting at.
Quarter pounder is still pretty good.
It's solid, but it's not a ribeye steak cooked on Doug's 40-yard barbecue in the front of the house. Like, when I go to Doug's house and eat a steak, I have to walk around the house, around the neighbor's house, through the backyard to find the barbecue.
Yes.
I've never seen a barbecue so far from a house in my life. I'm just going to pitch my tent in between next time.
It's actually not that far.
I mean, it's closer.
It is that far. Closer. I've seen the photo.
It'd be closer to go to your neighborhood grill.
You know what? Yes. Doug's going away on holidays, guys. We could all go to Doug's and use the barbecue, and he would never notice.
That's true.
We could bring it back to Canada and he wouldn't notice because it's the same length.
No. We're not stealing it. We were not. We're just going to move it.
Same distance.
After using it.
That would be borrowing it.
No. We're going to move it to a closer location.
I mean, we could always conjure up a barbecue.
Oh, dear.
If we're going to transition.
No, that's a great transition.
Oh,
I think a few people in this movie get baked.
Thank you for the assist, Bob. Yes, The Conjuring. The devil made me do it. directed by Michael Chavez, screenplay by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, starring Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga. God damn it. I can't say my R words. Rory O'Connor, I'll just say that. Sarah
Wicket?
Catherine Hook.
Worried Wicket? Worried Davis?
Warwick. I'll tell Warwick. That story. Sarah Catherine Hook, Julian Hilliard, John Noble, and Eugene Bondurant. Okay, so that story was, I can't say words like horror. I mean, I just said horror, but I can't, like the words with R's in the middle of them, like horror or rural, is hard for me to say. So Warwick is like Warwick that Americans say, but it's actually Warwick in like in the UK. It's at the time I was doing an interview and a guy was called Warwick Ross. I couldn't say his name for the life of me. And then when I was trying to wrap up the show, I said Warwick Davis because I was so focused on saying his first name that I was like, yeah, you're Warwick Davis, aren't you? So yeah, it's a pretty good video. I kept it in the episode. It's pretty, you got to laugh at yourself sometimes. Just me not being able to talk. But now I can say, it's not as funny because I can say Warwick now. Are you checking the score there, Simon?
I am not checking the score. I'm waiting for you guys to touch The Conjuring.
All right. I'll go.
Bob's up.
What did I think? Okay, the very first scene I thought it made me think of a cross between The Exorcist and The Omen. I thought, okay, this is not happening again. So I wasn't expecting much, but as it went on, it got better. Like because like the husband and wife team, the wife that really spooked me out when the wife she touches the girl's hand and she could like she all of a sudden I know it's special effects and fake. Yeah, I'm ruining it. She touches the girl's hand and all of a sudden she's in the forest or something, and I'm going, okay, this is looking good, and it got better as it went along. I would recommend it, but I didn't like. I didn't think it was the terrific movie.
I know you see some films without seeing the first two. So have you seen the first two Conjuring films?
I hate to admit it, but no.
Okay, see, the way you were talking about it, about the Warrens, I was just like, okay, this man has not seen the first
Hang two. Hang on, you could say Warrens, but not Warwick.
Well, you picked you up say, on that one.
Can you know, say Warren, terrible?
I say Warren a lot, though.
Warren.
But I've never seen, I never really say Warwick.
Warwick. Yeah.
But good catch, Simon. Good catch. I'll give you that one, sir. I can go. I enjoyed this. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first. What are we doing with our fingers here, people? Oh, no. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first two, but I liked it a lot more than most of the spin-offs. Like I don't like The Nun. I didn't really like The Curse of La Llorona, even though that's only a semi spinoff of the Conjuring universe.
Same director as Conjuring 3.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more than the first Annabelle film. So it'd probably be in the middle of the Conjuring universe, like ranking for me. But I enjoyed that it could still be somewhat entertaining while really just changing up the, I guess, what would it be? The premise just, and like just the way that they structured these films, how their first two were pure exorcism, pure haunted house, and then there's the non-haunting Farmiga's character, and then this time it's like, okay, here's real life, here's a Satanist who's might as well be the nun. But just the fact that it's like kind of rooted in real life and kind of more true crime with the guy like being possessed and then killing someone, I thought that was interesting. And I thought the scenes, the like horror in prison is always kind of fun for me, and I like those scenes. So I found it interesting that it could switch it up from how good the first two are and still be interesting, even though it's not nearly as good.
Hold on a second. You're saying this is not as good as the second one?
Thank you.
I don't think so. Wait, why are you saying McBride?
You didn't like it as much as the other two. So that you're sort of on my side in that case.
Okay. To the extent I'd give this one a 6, but I'd give the first one like an 8, sick. And then the second one a 7, probably. Or, like, higher scores than this one, at least.
High. Bye.
Can I speak now? Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
We're good. Thanks. Okay, this is a better film than Conjuring 2. I hate to tell you. I like the first half an hour of this film. I thought was solid. I liked the way they introduced the possession. I liked the way they had the exorcism. I liked everything about it. I liked when the guy was cutting the tree and the ghost suddenly showed up at the window. On board. And then they had this random guy dancing. I'm like, here we go. There's kill number one. Now, see it coming a mile away. Don't care. And then it continues on from here. And now, I did like the hospital scene, but again, I don't think it pays enough for me to get there. So we have this weird side plot that we have to go investigate this other murder so that she can get a file? Really? That's like, I don't care about the warriors. I want to know more about this possession, this guy killing people or doing something. And I think that's the problem with the film, that they spend more times look, the Warrens are a happy relationship. This is probably the end of the franchise. So we can just wrap it up here so you know how the Warrens met, and they're a happy couple, and they care about each other. I got that. I thought that the bad guy was a nice twist at the end. I really thought it was the other good guy, because that was the only other character we were ever introduced here. We never really meet the villain until the very, very end. But I'm kind of thinking he must have known the villain was there, you know, and didn't want to tip off the Warrens, or did she just magically appear there? Like, she was underneath the house, right? His daughter. So he knew it was her the whole time. So he was just playing with the Warrens, going, haha, I'm not going to tell you.
No, he doesn't want to rat out his own daughter, even though she's crazy as fuck.
But doesn't he have to? Like, he does at the end and costs himself his life. My argument is he could have saved so much pain and suffering by telling them earlier.
Yeah, but
not having make me watch this film.
But do you see what I'm getting at, Doug? Yeah, I feel this film is gets away from its premise in the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Well, I will be honest. It is very hard for me to separate these films from what I feel about the actual real-life Warrens. I think that they were horrible shysters who did more harm than good. The first Conjuring film, I think that's a solid horror film. That one, yeah, I'd give it 8 out of 10. It's the best of the bunch. Number two was okay. This one I did not care for at all. I will tell you the reason that Warren had his heart attack was not because a demon grabbed his heart. It's because he was more built like me than Patrick Wilson. He was just a fat guy who was out of shape and had heart attacks because he didn't take care of himself. I do think the note that the director gave to Patrick Wilson was, pretend you're James Gandolfini in The Sopranos. And Patrick Wilson's like, oh, yeah, great. That would be awesome, you know. A man torn between, you know, his family and his other family and his job. And no. I want you to just breathe extremely heavy and act like every movement is a bother to you. I don't know.
And you know, having watched the last season of The Sopranos, I completely agree. That's all he does.
Yes.
Kevin. Slowly and clutch his chest.
Kevin, your buddy there was a jump scare for me. You just panned the camera around and I just saw another person. I was like, what, are we in The Conjuring?
Yeah, exactly. It was Dave.
Like, if I play it back, I'm gonna see myself just jumping. Sorry, back to The Conjuring.
Okay.
So, Kevin, I'm pretty much done. I didn't like this.
Okay. Kevin, did you watch this?
I did. I'm not sure I like the actual Warrens, but I like the film Warrens. Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. And I like their cinematic journey, right? So I like the first movie a lot. And I actually do like the second movie, not as much, of course, but I do enjoy it because it's James Wan directing and he knows what he's doing. And the third one, you know, they're trying to keep the franchise going. It was okay. I didn't love it, but I thought it was kind of average. An interesting story, and I did like the fact that they're trying to do this like a James Bond style pre-credits sequence where they do something that ties into the main story. So in this case, they do an exorcism on a little boy, and the spirit goes into the boy, the other boy, the older teenager, and then he becomes the killer of the story. While in I think in two, they're at the Amityville house, and it's the evil spirit in the basement of Vladek that she senses that becomes the nun. Right, but anyway, I thought it was okay. It had a few decent jump scares. As soon as I saw John Noble, I mean, the guy knows everything, of course. There's always that one character that is able to tell us every answer that we need, and who keeps a secret back, in this case that it's his daughter who's the killer. She was freaky. She was kind of like the opposite Warren, like the dark side Warren.
I thought she looked good. I thought they did a good job on her makeup and everything. She seemed like a real satanic witch to me.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen her in anything else, but I thought she looked good. I thought she looked good for the part. I thought the casting was good for everything here.
Mm-hmm. I like the second film because of the Crooked Man. That scene freaks me out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't remember it. It's long forgotten to me.
I wish that would have had a spin-off film before The Nun.
I feel like I'm in the Blair Witch Chronicles right now.
the same thing.
You have to start crying, Kevin.
They're coming. Turn off the light.
Now, before we spiral out of control. Wait, Bob, did you go? He did.
He didn't see one and two, remember?
Oh, right. I forgot.
You asked me if I saw three, not one and two. I already talked about three.
No, I just forgot. Okay, before we spiral out of control, spiral out from the Book of Saw, you're going to get this online, guys. I'm sorry. Spiral from the Book of Saw, directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, written by Josh Stolborg. God damn it. That's exactly what happened with Warwick, I swear. Written by Josh Stolborg. Okay. Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger, starring Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson, Max Minghella, Marisol Nichols, Patrick McManus, and Richard Sapiri.
I will start off by saying I'm not a big fan of the Saw franchise. I like the first movie. I thought that was solid. Again, directed by James Wan in the first one. And the death traps, you know, they get to be kind of samey after a while. This movie I thought was actually watchable. I enjoyed it. I liked Chris Rock. I think his story idea, he had something to say about policing and how they don't always follow the rules. You know, people lie, people plant evidence. And I think Chris Rock found an interesting way to tell that in the Saw universe. Now, if you actually think really hard about this film, there are flaws that are readily available. How did that one trap end up in the evidence room, for one? How did he bring in the wax for that trap? Don't think about that. Just watch it for what it is. I didn't hate this movie. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I actually thought some of the visuals were really good, like the ending when Sam Jackson is the marionette and it looks like he's raising the gun at the cops. I thought that was really clever. I liked that stuff. This is the first movie of the night I didn't hate.
Wow, we got a new Simon in the house. So I will admit, I have not seen all the Saw movies. I've seen one and two, and for some reason I've seen... I think Jigsaw is 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's 8.
Jigsaw's 8?
Yeah.
That was the one that came out.
Yeah, the 2017 one, that's the 8th one, and this is the 9th one, technically.
Okay, so I'm missing Saw 3 to 7 that I have not seen. But I will. I just haven't got to them. I like Chris Rock. I got to admit, I enjoyed him as a detective. I enjoyed, but the funny thing is, I thought he directed this movie. Before I saw it, I'm like, oh, Chris Rock didn't direct it. I had a lot of problems with the police chief captain. I thought she was just there for stunt casting. Oh, look, it's the chick from Riverdale. I'm like, you have no presence at all. You don't scare me. I don't think you could be a police chief captain. I just don't think she has the cojones for that. I did love everybody else. I like who is Jigsaw or whoever his name was. Even though he sounds like a tool in this movie, I just want to slap him like he deserves to be. Like, they took out the cool part of Saw was the cool voice, and that's gone now. I liked all the traps, but one really bugged me. The second one, when they pull something on the table, I thought looked too CGI for me.
Fingers, okay.
And I know, and I mean, the hot wax was just kind of funny. I'm just like, this is a lot of work for this. Couldn't they just take them out? I did want a little bit more of a mystery, and I felt we didn't get it because it relied too much on Saw tropes. So we always have to get to the next big twist or whatever, the next big trap I found more than anything else. I'd like to see a little bit more detective work that we saw in probably the first 20 to 40 minutes. And then it sort of stalls, I find. Then we start going, who is Jigsaw? I got to find Jigsaw. And then why would Jigsaw want Chris Rock to join him? I had a big issue with that scene going, you're Jigsaw. You don't need anybody. Or maybe that happens in some of the earlier films. I missed it because Jigsaw's not dead for me yet, which I know
he
dies later. Spoilers.
He always had assistants, Jigsaw.
Oh, okay. Okay, so overall, I like this. I would like to see more of these because I kind of enjoy them. I think Saw 1's an excellent film, and I did like Saw 2, even though it becomes a little bit of a barn burner, I guess what I could say. Let the bodies hit the floor. The more bodies we get, the higher our body count. So I don't know. Maybe by next time we talk in October, I'll have seen the rest of the Saw films. They're on my list to catch up on. So we'll see. I would give Saw recommend. I don't think Kevin saw this at all. So the other horror god on the show, Mr. Prim, no, who can't
I,
say.
I definitely.
Yes, Kevin.
I have not seen a Saw movie yet, and I'm going to hold that.
You're kind of terrifying right now.
Kevin, just so anybody knows, is recording in his car with his friend Dave while receiving
I have
who
no
knows
light
what
in
kind
my
of
car.
Sexual favors in the dark.
There's no light in the middle of my car, so I can't illuminate light, unfortunately.
Nobody wants you illuminated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Did he hear me calling him a jump scare?
Yes.
Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys, yeah. That's Dave, Mr. Cheesecake Dave, for anybody out there. Dave, okay, did you see Book of Saw?
I think I've only seen one Saw myself, and that's it.
Okay, but you're done.
Dan I know Chris Rock and Sam Jackson were in the movie, at least.
I didn't.
That's great. Maybe no. Read the comic and get back to us.
Okay, I'm going to go now. Oh, wait. Okay, yeah, I can say Countercurrent. anyway, but no, so I did not like this one that much. I've seen all the Saw movies. I enjoyed the Saw movies. I love the first one. I like the sequels. I've been waiting for this one ever since the legend of Chris Rock pitching this film, and because it was his idea, but apparently it's the story's much less sexy. But I think the detective work is okay. I think the kills are okay, but I don't really like the characters. I could see the twist coming from as soon as he took Chris Rock's phone and is like, hey, let me do something with it. And I was just like, I could just picture a scene later in the film where it reveals what he actually did with the phone. The torture is pretty good, but I think this would have been a lot better if it wasn't a Saw movie. And if it was just a detective movie, and I think the story is okay, but just bringing it into the Saw universe is just, and just switching out the great Jigsaw imagery with just the very obvious pigs mascot because they're cops is just kind of super on the nose. And even though I didn't really realize till later, I was like, wait, why did they make these pigs? I was like, oh, I'm dumb. And they're caught because they're cops. Anyway, I just,
well, you weren't the only one who just realized that.
Okay. Fair. That makes me feel better. But yeah, I would have liked this more if it wasn't a Saw movie, cause I wouldn't have been anticipating it that much. And it just would have been like a disappointing film, like The Little Things, I think is what it was called with Denzel. Oh, so yeah. I just, yeah, would I would have, Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, would you have liked it better if they just called it Spiral and you didn't know it had a Saw connection until you watched it?
Maybe. Like, if at the end it was kind of like a split thing where it's like, oh, this is in the Unbreakable universe. I'd have been like, oh, they should, that's kind of interesting. Like, because like how it ends the same way as the first one, that would have been interesting. But like, I guess with the expectations, it's just like, eh.
Yeah.
I wanted more, I guess.
I get it.
To be honest, Doug, I like that idea. I think that would go a long way.
Okay. Yeah.
The idea of keeping it a secret and then revealing, hey, this is tied into all that stuff. So people would go back to watch the other movies. But on top of that, the fans would be like, oh, my God, this is part of that. Oh, that's great. Like how excited I was with Split, which is an okay movie, but not a great.
Oh, I love Split. My jaw is still on the floor of that theater with that twist. That was great. Yeah, but yeah, I wanted more from this one.
Wanted more. Don't you always want more?
Always. Bob, did you talk on this or did you
see? Not yet. Okay, I have seen four or five of these Saw movies, and I think I own three of them. Four maybe. I saw the Jigsaw one and liked it. This one, it's becoming a little formulaic. I know it's supposed to, because same kind of thing over again, but I did like the kills. I like the chemistry between Chris Rock and Samo Jackson, who is there for paycheck. I beat you to that, Simon. Where'd it go? So it's getting a little tiring watching the same thing. I know they're different kills, I know, but like they're trying to think of different ways to kill them, and they're starting to slow down on the new ideas to kill, I guess. But I'd still recommend it, but it's getting like sort of tired. The formula's getting tired.
Chinese finger chop was kind of interesting. Yeah. Even because of this, even despite the CGI.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was laughing because I don't know if I can say uncorroborated.
As close as I'm gonna get.
Try another one, sir.
I hope we'll find some more.
Uncle Robert.
Gosh.
You guys are being Cruella.
No, we're just the evil.
Or just Estella. Cruella, directed by Craig Gillespie. God dang it. Wow. Craig Gillespie, written by Dana Fox and Tony McNamara. God damn, wow, I'm going to go to bed. McNamara, starring Emma Stone, Emma Thompson, Joel Fry, Paul Walter Hauser, John McCrae, Emily Beecham, Mark Strong, and Kevin Novak. Simon, did you want to start on this one? Or Kevin?
Yeah, Cruella. I could say lots about Cruella. Me and Kevin are going to have a fight in a minute, so just so people are prepared. I couldn't get into this. You know how much I dislike Emma Stone. I know I'm probably head of the I don't get Emma Stone, everybody loves her club. I'm not in it. It's just a typical movie. I think Emma Thompson does a great job as always. I never have an issue with Emma Thompson. I find her wonderful and everything. Mark Strong does the best he can playing a supporting role, but does an excellent job. I just got bored. I find this thing very repetitious. Like the first half an hour when they're introducing, I kind of get it. And then I just find it just becomes repetitious at times. I just wish it would go somewhere. Like I really thought the supporting characters of Emma Stone's henchmen were better than she was. Richard Jewell, what's that guy's name? The bigger fellow, I like him. Paul Walter Hauser just impresses me more and more in everything I see. I just felt this needed some more direction. I really did. Like at the end of the film, I don't even think Cruella's that evil. I'm like, this is not the same character from 101 Dalmatians, and I wanted somebody evil. Like that's why she wanted to make a Dalmatian coach to kill their mom. Really, that's the whole thing. That's a little weak for me. I don't really feel they earned what they were looking for.
That scene was the funniest thing in the entire world. Just the dogs tackling the mom, and she just goes off the cliff. I was laughing. I was like, what am I about to watch?
She was murdered by Dalmatian.
And I thought it got a little bit better from there. Like, I think I liked the part of the film where it was Estella more than Cruella. Like, I like that it kind of went into like a heist a little bit at one point in the film, or Craig Gillespie is just like, hey, what if we do a heist movie? And I liked Paul Walter Hauser's character always being like, okay, but what's the catch? Or, you know, what's the angle? I like that aspect of the film. I love the way it looked too, like with the costume design, production design. That this is already has probably what, at least 2 Oscar nominations. And I thought the costumes were great. And it's, I haven't seen The Devil Wears Prada, but like, I assume this is what The Devil Wears Prada would look like if it was made by Disney. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought this would have worked better if it wasn't like an origin story though. Maybe kind of similar to my Saw take, but I thought it was I think it's a decent story outside of the Cruella world, but I think it's still a decent as an origin story with what they're doing with all these villains nowadays. But yeah, like, yeah, it was, I like Emma Stone in the character, even though I liked her better as just the regular Estella, and just going back and forth between Estella and Cruella. I thought that was, it was pretty good. I like it more than I thought I would, I think. Even though I don't think I loved it.
See, for me, this movie was all style over substance. It was very much a needle drop film. It seemed like every 5 minutes the needle would drop and some 60s or 70s rock song would come on. Fortunately, they were all good songs that were picked for the movie, but that's the way it felt to me. Also, it got very on the nose at points. When the head of the school was saying, "This is a mark on your permanent record," all those marks looked like spots on a Dalmatian. The one big music show. The music show, not music show, the fashion show in the park, the song they played was "Now I Want to Be Your Dog." It was very on the nose for me at times. I thought all the actors did well, but for me, the script didn't hold up to what the actors could do.
Yeah, and I think we saw the music is just because of what it's set in the 70s punk scene, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, I like the music. Yeah. At least he chose good songs.
And it's just it's very funny how it very much thought of Scooby Doo with like just falling off the cliff in the end of the film, how she escapes. Like this is just Tim, like Nelson escaping prison in Scooby Doo.
Bob, what do you think?
Incorrigible. Incorrigible. I think it could have been shorter, like the beginning could have been cut off, but I did like it was, unlike Daniel, I did like it was a little bit of the origin story, because I like the backstory of how it went, like Cruella, I didn't really see the whole 101 Dalmatians in the first one or the remakes, but I knew, like, I have seen snippets of the movie, so I know what it's about, and I thought both, and I know Simon's going to disagree, I thought both Emma Stone and Mark Strong did great with the roles they did, because like that's not a usual type of Emma Stone role, except for the one she was in Victorian England. I thought you go in Emma Thompson's house, whatever her character did, and like it becomes like even larger than the house, the inside of the house, like the set design of that. But and I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did, but as the movie wore on.
Would you recommend it?
Yes and no. Just take about 10 minutes off the start and then yes.
I think that's an interesting thing that like you aren't really that familiar with like 101 Dalmatians. So I think it's interesting that you're seeing this as an origin story to see where it came before those films in a way.
Right.
So
I have seen clips of 101 Dalmatians, like the original cartoon. And then the one after with, I think, was it Glenn Close, 102 Dalmatians? I never saw that.
Yeah. She's actually an executive producer on this film I saw.
Was she really? Oh.
Yeah, in the credits. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Second movie of the night I haven't seen the first two. Or was it another one? Running Sorry. Through.
I'm going to be the counterpoint to Simon's hatred in that I actually loved this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought, this is the Solo of Disney movies. Nobody wanted this movie. Nobody understands why this movie even exists. It's just a cash grab. It does not fit with 101 Dalmatians because the character is redeemed at the end. Is she evil or not?
they tie it? They tied it that he wins on?
Tied it.
Ah, nice.
Varzel and a beautiful goal. Sorry, people. It's a big game for me.
I knew you weren't celebrating the podcast. It had to be the hockey game.
So, she's not killing Dalmatians at the end. She's giving them away. She's hooking people up. She is now the primary motivator for 101 Dalmatians. She's no longer just the person trying to capture dogs to make coats out of. She's the one that gave she hooked the two people up that got married that had the Dalmatians. So I thought that was a very strange thing to end on, but I love the music. I thought this is the best use of rock music in a soundtrack since Guardians 2, I guess.
Wow.
Because that's all it is. It's just great 70s, 60s and 70s rock music.
Yeah, for the games, yeah. That's true.
And I liked the bit when she was trying to become a designer. She was working for the clothing house and she was scrubbing toilets. I thought Emma Stone was really good in this film. I know that Simon hates her, so that's another thing, but I like Emma Stone. I think somebody
said I hated Emma Stone. I just said I'm not in the fan club.
I need the tape. Right. I thought you didn't say you hated
her. yeah, me too. But you know, it's kind of like someone at Disney said, well, Joker was popular. Why don't we see if we can make a Joker, but for kids? And so they picked this.
We live in a society.
How is this Joker for kids?
Well, Joker is like a story of the Joker before he became the Joker. How did he become the Joker? And that movie is, you know, he just goes crazy. In this movie, she's kind of crazy when she was a kid. She has a subverted pop personality. There's Estella and Cruella. So Cruella wants to be dominant all the time. But, you know, I thought it was bizarre, but I liked it. I thought it was enough of a stylish, Doug's point about it being more style than substance is absolutely right. But I like style. I like movies with style. Sam Raimi films generally are more style than substance. So I thought there was something to this. And the fact it's a kid's
Are you movie. Talking about the Oz film? Is that what you're referencing when you say style over substance, that Oz film with James Franco?
I'm talking about most of his movies. There are very few that have a lot of substance to them. Even Evil Dead, you know, there's nothing to it. It's more about what effects can we do.
And then the second one, what effects can we do again?
Yeah, exactly. Make them better. So overall, I liked it.
Yeah, and Emma Thompson is great too. I saw a funny Letterboxd, just like mini review that was like the DeVille, where's Prada? Yeah. Which I thought that was pretty good.
You're right about the Scooby Doo ending though. That was another thing too. That kind of bothered me. The Scooby Doo ending.
So funny. Yeah. kind of like this movie more that it did that. So it's like, okay, is this even Steven's movie or Scooby-Doo? Like, how is she going to survive?
Yeah.
Now, is this just heaven, or are we looking at a white woman's Instagram?
Okay. I'm going to start this one because...
Well, I'll just in case, I'll just say Bo Burnham inside.
It's Bo directed, Burnham did
written,
it all.
Written, starring, and everything. Shot by Bo Burnham. Yes, yeah. And produced.
Oh, my God. If you don't like Bo Burnham after watching this, then... You need to stop watching things in general. This thing is a work of genius. I want to know if this can go on my top 10 list because it's not a film, or do we count it as a film?
I put Hamilton on my top 10 last year, so yeah.
It's featured. Well,
White Woman's Instagram is my song of the year. That thing needs to be friggin' nominated for an Oscar. I literally... cry during this thing. It's got to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. This man is convinced me he's a genius after watching this. He's hit nails on the head that I didn't think were allowed possible by white people. Him going on about a white woman's Instagram is amazing. Every song he does is amazing. What he can do with nothing is amazing. The way he just doles this out and pours out his heart at times is amazing. I want this to win an Oscar for something, and it better be White Women on Instagram, because that thing is genius. I honestly, at the end of this film, felt bad for Bo Burnham. I'm like, is he a mad genius? Did somebody ever let him out of the house? Like, literally, it felt like he lived in that room for the whole period. Obviously, I know he went to the kitchen or went to the out for a walk. I mean, it was pretty evident. But the amount of work this man puts into this and the amount of feeling I got when I finished it going, I don't think I gave him enough. Like, I literally want to go up to him and go, I'm sorry we made you stay in that room for so long and make this. This man needs to get out. Like, every song was a genius. This thing is incredible. I have no complaints for once in my life about something. This is a 10 out of 10, and everybody needs to watch it. And White Wooden Instagram is going to win an Oscar if I have anything to say about it.
Yeah, yeah, ding dong.
All right. Would it be an Emmy, though? I think it would be an Emmy instead, because I don't know if this would qualify for the Oscars. Because technically it is a TV special.
Oh, then I can't put it on my list.
Too bad.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a fine line now between, because everything is produced for television.
I think we can put it on our list, but I don't think the Oscar could put it on their list.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I've already seen it, like, for your consideration for the Emmys. I don't know, though.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I just want to start singing, like, every song, like, waking up at 11:30, feeling like a bag of shit. Like, I really related to that song and just, like, how, like, haven't showered for 9 days. I just...
Please tell me you've not showered. You've showered within 9 days?
I showered today, yeah. But no, I just...
Has it been 9 days ago since you showered, though?
Probably. I don't know.
Oh, God.
No, I related to, like, every song here. And, like, you saying, like, he is a genius. I totally agree. Like, I loved him before the film. Like, I love the song New Math and just all the stuff he put on his YouTube, like, at 2010. So I've known about him since, like, those days. And just... For everybody knowing, like, if you haven't known his name before, you're going to know it now. And I just love that for him, you know? And every song is so great, how he can turn Jeff Bezos into, like, a little interlude is so funny. And how he has that villain song that feels like it should be in, like, in the next South Park movie. I think all the songs are so smart. And just, I love that you can't really tell where the real Bo Burnham ends and the movie Bo Burnham is, like, because he just loses it during the film. And it's so relatable to, like, what we've all gone through during this pandemic, and him saying, like, him talking about his anxiety. Like, I've had anxiety and depression, like, all my life. So, like, or most of my life, at least. So I very much related to that and his struggle, and, like, how he stopped doing live performances for a while, and then he was about to get back into it, and then the pandemic hit. But I completely agree. I love this movie. And it's got to be considered a musical, right? So, Bo Burnham and Side Over in the Heights.
Yes, I would consider it a musical.
Okay. Yeah, I love it. It's great. Now, Doug, you had said something interesting before. Did you want to get into it?
Sure. I guess I'll be the possible counter voice on this.
No, you won't.
I guess I'm too old for Bo Burnham. I thought it was really good. I thought parts of it were really good. I felt it did go on a little bit too long, but I also felt that if I was 20 years younger, I would think it was genius and amazing. And as soon as I finished watching it, I asked Owen, I said, Owen, I might be too old for this, but I think you would like Bo Burnham Inside. And he goes, oh, Dad, I watched that the day it came out. It was great. So my hypothesis is that Bo Burnham is for people younger than me, and that was played out. I did enjoy this. I absolutely loved the song about, you know, I'm a white guy, so of course I'm going to tell you my opinion. I also love the whole thing where he's commenting on the song and the video keeps playing and he's commenting and commenting. And Those were the parts that I absolutely loved. I did feel it went on a bit too long. I think if it was an hour instead of an hour and a half, I'd be with Simon and Daniel saying it was brilliant. But as it is right now, I think it's a little bit too long for me to say it's the best.
So you didn't like Daddy giving you some content?
The sexting song. I could have done without the sexting song.
Oh, that was great. When he was just like, crisis averted, because she sent the beckon emoji. So good.
Oh, my God. That sexting song was so funny, Doug. Because, I mean, I think the problem is for me and you, because we're married, we don't understand dating. We're old, but, I mean, dating nowadays is different than dating in our days. I mean, our days, you have to meet somebody in person to date them. Mm. Nowadays, I could be on the internet and pretending I'm a blonde with, I don't know, big, whatever, a skinny blonde weighing 50 pounds or whatever. And you're like, swipe right. Well, I show up looking like me. Like, that didn't happen in our days. So sex texting, you don't really know, because, I mean, how well do you know somebody? I mean, you can't meet them in person during a pandemic, and that's what he's saying during this. And, you know, you're trying. And I totally get that. Like, my wife leaves me tomorrow. I have no idea what to do. Like, I've never been on a dating site with these new kind of things. I've never done any of this. So I totally got where he was coming from. You know, because I think the pandemic, everything's new for everybody, because everything we've known has now been shut down. And for me and you to go back to dating, we're going to have to call our kids and go, can you explain Tinder to me? Because I don't get it. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Or Instagram, I don't use. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For us, dating would be hard right now. We have no idea how to do it.
Yeah, you show
it
up
is
for
hard.
The- You show up for the date and they think you've eaten.
Well,
the 50
what I think we should do is invite the date over to meet Doug's barbecue so they could talk on the way to the barbecue. That's a good 10 minutes.
An hour even.
Yes.
Oh.
What did you think, Bob?
I'm going with Doug on it, but I'm taking it a bit further because I didn't find him funny. I didn't like his songs.
Boo.
By the time, boo. No, boo. I have an opinion. It may be wrong. I don't care. I got through the whole, from the very start, I watched it. I'm going, oh, what have you got me into? I didn't enjoy it. So I wouldn't recommend it for myself. Like, I'd never watch it again.
I got you into a masterpiece, Bob.
this will go on. If I had a meh list, this will, on the top 10 best, worst, and I now have a meh list. That's it.
And it's just
be on that.
You cannot have a meth list. You told me that exactly.
Meth list?
Meth.
You told me it has to either go on the top 10.
I said if I had one. It's going in.
Can't be talked about.
Simon can't say me.
Can't talk about things you don't
know. I don't care. I didn't say where it was going on the top 10 worst.
Oh, God. No, this can't even go on my list because it's a TV special, but it's phenomenal. You just didn't get it. You don't relate to it. That's your problem.
Who?
You. White Woman's Instagram is a genius song.
Doug almost said the same thing.
Doug said he didn't like one song. You're saying it's meh.
I didn't enjoy it. What do you want?
So you left the film.
You don't like special, sir.
Okay.
You left the film feeling like a bag of shit?
Yeah, he must not like sexing. He doesn't like the White Woman's Instagram. He hates everything. He's the new Simon.
There would never be a new Simon. You were one of a kind.
White Woman's Instagram. Kevin, did you watch this?
Thanks.
I did. I got to say, I mean, I think all of you guys were holed up with people during the pandemic. And I was not. So this movie hit a little bit too close to home on a lot of things.
Oh. Okay. Well, I did have my mom here, so yeah, I guess.
You did, yeah. Cat that likes to show its ass.
Okay, so I had two people with me.
My cat, I hate my cat now. It's like living with my cat for a year, I hate it.
I trust the supervise at work.
I had a hard time watching this from start to finish.
Thank you.
I had to stop and watch it in pieces. But hell, I mean, this guy is a genius. He is funny. There's a, I mean,
the part that I loved the most was when he was talking to his sock puppet, and it started fighting with him about being woke and stuff like that. I thought that was hilarious. White woman's Instagram.
Hold on, Kevin. Before you go on, I think those sock puppet conversations are the conversations we have off the show.
Are they? Yeah, okay.
Existential crisis.
You mean part of your imagination? No. What?
Yes. I call up Kevin sometimes, and Kevin walks me off numerous ledges, just so you guys know.
I walk you off what?
Ledges. I get really intense and Kevin's like...
Like Corella? Stop.
What? Yeah, Kevin will walk me off that ledge.
Or give you a skirt that you can use as a parachute.
Yeah. Oh, it was like the time in the theater when I got into a fight with the guy over his staff because he wouldn't shut up, and Kevin's like, calm down.
It's just shaft. No, I...
Sorry, Kevin, you were saying about White Woman's Instagram.
No, I thought that song alone is amazing. You know, I'm like, what is he trying to say? And then he says a white woman's Instagram. And I'm like, oh, that's a bold song title. And then I'm watching him, and the images are exactly what you might find on a white girl's. But particularly someone of his age group, not necessarily
everybody.
Like a 20 to 35-year-old white woman would have these types of images with lights and food and the posing. And then, you know, sexy posing, all that stuff. I mean, you don't follow Instagram at all. That's what Instagram is basically.
Yeah, there's there are TikToks.
About, I see that like, stuff on Facebook. Song. Like,
yeah.
Like the TikToks with like, oh, like I feel like personally attacked by Bo Burnham, and they show Bo Burnham's pose and they show them pretty much doing the same exact thing on Instagram. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, on Instagram, it's all challenges. It's like, can you dance to this song this way? Can you move your hands suggestively and dance a certain way? It's all like that. But Instagram is more posing. It's like, you know, sexy posing or food posing or lights or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, basically the guy was holed up for a year, and he just by himself, and he said, I'm going to do the ultimate comedy special on being alone by myself for a year. And this is what he comes up with. And yeah, I'm sure he went to the kitchen and he didn't sleep on the floor like that and all that stuff. Like when he, what was it? He's lying on the floor with the mic on the pillow. He's talking about like existential stuff and struggles within society. And then he stops. He goes, I'm horny.
Yeah.
And so you hear all these stories like sexting. You hear all these stories about all these people in their 20s and 30s that are just like horny. They're like, they're putting up signs saying, let me out. I got to get laid. And this is what it's all about, this whole culture of, you know, they've been trapped inside for a year and they haven't seen anybody. And now they got to see somebody and have sex. And I have friends who are like that, who are like, I've been trapped for a year. I got to get laid. And I'm like, all right, well, good luck with that. There's probably someone you could call. anyway. it was really good. And I know he should win awards for this. Emmys or Oscars, whatever the case.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, Simon, you've had that up long enough that I've finally had the courage to say incorrigible.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I got it. I don't know where to go for this transition, so I will just quote the guest by saying, "You don't feel bad. You did the right thing." that missed, but yes, the guest directed by Adam Ringard, written by Simon Barrett, starring Dan Stevens, Michael Monroe, Sheila Kelly, Brendan Meyer, Leland Orser, Lance Reddick, and Joel David Moore.
I will start. This is a rewatch for me, but I saw it so long ago, I really do not remember the film. And I found more flaws with it the second time when I saw it. I do enjoy it. I think it has a great flow. I think the premise is beyond unbelievable, but I don't care because I just kind of like it. It's a fun B film. I mean, there's really nothing to this other than you'll get the story dump in the last 25 minutes to explain everything to you. The rest of the time, it's just him screwing around with people. Like, I like that. I think Dan Stevens gets full credit for me for keeping this movie afloat, so it doesn't really become a complete mess. I enjoy all the scenes with him. Everybody else can be irreplaceable, even though that's the chick from It Follows, who I kind of liked. I thought she was okay. The daughter.
Yeah, Michael Monroe.
But other than that, nothing. I don't think it's outstanding in any way. I enjoy the film. I'd recommend the film. But really, there's nothing here other than fun. I mean, I think you got to take this film for what it is, an hour and 26, 28 minutes of fun. You know, it's just one of these things. You're going to watch it. You're going to enjoy it and wish there was a sequel, because I really want one.
Yeah, me too. I put this one on because I saw it for I saw it. This is my first Midnight Madness movie at TIFF. So I saw this way back in 2014. I haven't seen it again since. And I kind of wanted...
Hold on. We were at the same premiere. I skipped this premiere. I'm so mad now.
Oh, really? Like, you were going to see it or were you going to get autographs?
Yes. I was supposed to go to get autographs for this, and I was too tired because I had to work that week. And I said, Dan Stevens ain't going to show up, and he did. And I'm so mad because I would have got the It Follows girl and him.
Yeah, well, I've just rubbed it in 7 years later, I guess. I didn't get their autographs or anything, but no, it was really fun. It was cool. It was a great experience. I wanted to see if it lived up or if it was just kind of like the Midnight Madness, like, allure of it. And a bit of both. Because I love the film. This is exactly my type of movie, a thriller that is a bit high concept. With the twist of the film that being like experimentation and like a Terminator kind of deal. And I thought Dan Stevens played it so well, kind of stoic at times, a little bit of dark humor. I liked the dynamic with the brother when the brother's like, we're friends, right? When he's just kind of told him all the information he needs to know. I thought that all worked. And it still lives up watching it at home. Even though, yeah, like you said, Simon, on rewatch, the flaws are a bit more clear. Like the scenes with Leland Orser, like asking if he wants another beer. Like, that's still really funny with how dry it is, but it works a lot better with like a Midnight Madness crowd, I think. So like this is the exact type of movie that's great at something like that. And it's still very good at home. But I just, yeah, anyway, I really like this movie. I love the structure of it. I love just movies that are more classic thriller than horror. I mean, there are horror elements, but it takes itself more as a thriller, which I enjoy a lot, even though it has a lot of like the horror decisions by the characters when they're very dumb. Sorry, what you can say, Simon?
Before we let Doug and Bob speak, I think we should start a new trend called Doug's Barbecue Movies. You know, so we could sit out and have a barbecue and watch this movie with Doug near his barbecue, because we could fit about 40 people in the space between the barbecue and the house. So we could advertise Doug's barbecue movie. So, Doug, what did you think of the guest?
And you can fit 5 people in the barbecue as well, like inside it.
No. We got to cook on the barbecue from this butcher.
Cook the people.
I enjoyed this movie. I didn't watch it because of Dan Stevens. I watched it because of Adam Wingard. Of the 5 movies of his I've seen, I've really liked 2. This one, You're Next. I've hated 2, Death Note and Blair Witch. And King Kong versus Godzilla is somewhere in the middle, just a fun monster bash-em-up. This one I liked because of Dan Stevens, actually. I thought his performance was really good. And the movie actually went places I wasn't expecting it to go. I was not expecting the house to get shot up with all those guns, all those rounds towards the end. I didn't think the movie had the budget to do something like that. So when they actually did it, I was impressed. I enjoyed that. I liked the kind of haunted house aspect of the dance at the end. I thought it was good. I liked it. Like Simon said, I want to see a sequel. I want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I guess we're now 6-7 years out. Let's see where the characters are now.
And apparently the budget was $5 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think they saved all the money for that end scene, Doug. I really think all the cash went into destroying that house. Because yes. really before that, there's nothing. Everything's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. Like any and issues the only that happened are easily dealt with.
The only real star would be Dan Stevens, because I think didn't he do this before
Downton Abbey? Or I thought he did
this like right after.
This is right after. Okay. Right after Denton Abbey. Yeah. So, I mean, he wasn't a star here. And I still would argue Dan Stevens is not a star. He is to movie bot fans. They know who he is from Beauty and the Beast and this. And
I feel like
said something else.
People know his face but don't know his name. Because, like, when on that trivia one when we did a couple of months ago, no one knew Dan Stevens, but I knew the name when we asked who was in Beauty and the Beast. So I think that just proves your point.
Correct. He plays the
bass. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Okay, McBride, you're up.
Okay. Before I start, I was at Ryerson with I wasn't at Ryerson with Daniel, but I was at Ryerson for the autographs. I remember now.
Oh, nice.
Okay, now 25 minutes into the movie, I said, "Nope, can't do it." I refused to watch the rest, and I turned it off.
Wow. Really? Sorry. Why?
I didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
But maybe I have to give it a second try. Maybe.
Eh, it's up to you. Yeah. You missed a very great grenade scene where he just throws... that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie where he just throws the grenades and turns around and the music plays.
Oh.
I love that scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't like everything.
Kevin, did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
No,
that's not a victory for you, Bob.
Well, sort of. He didn't see it. I didn't see 75% of it either.
You saw more of it than I did.
Fair,
but I have heard good things about it. So,
you guys are making me feel kind of cooler.
Good night.
You're definitely cooler.
Yeah, you're cooler.
That was my trick.
I feel unlucky.
That was my transition, the cooler. Because you guys are feeling making me feel cooler. God damn it. The cooler, directed by Wayne Kramer and written by Wayne Kramer and Frank Hanna, starring William H. Macy, Maria Bello, Alec Baldwin, Sean Hattasey, Ron Livingston, Paul Sorvino, Estelle Warren, who I don't know if I've ever seen her other than Kangaroo Jack.
Planet of the Apes? Wasn't she in that?
Oh, maybe. Joey Fatone and MC Gainey. I haven't seen Planet of the Apes. I have seen Kangaroo Jack, though.
Pardon?
Which just says a lot about me as a person. What's up?
It's kind of weird. Finish Kangaroo Jack.
I liked Kangaroo Jack when I was a kid.
I started it one day, and I don't know why I never went back. Doug, could you start the cooler?
Not much. I haven't seen this in years and years. I remember the story being kind of basic, but it being saved by the actors. I think Alec Baldwin, Maria Bello, and William H. Macy. I thought they were all great, but it's not one that I've gone back to, like, say, Casino or Hard Eight, other Casino films. But it's been a long time since I've seen this, so I'll just say the actors were good.
Okay, fair. I didn't realize that. I was surprised to learn after that Baldwin was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars.
Oh.
I thought he was good, but I don't know if he was that good to be nominated. Maybe it was a slow year. I don't know. It's an interesting character, though, kind of tortured between like wanting to stay with his casino and not update it, I guess. And then go into the New Vegas. So I thought that was kind of interesting for his character. The reason I picked this is because I like casino movies, and this has been on my watch list for a while. And I just like the premise of him being a cooler and just bringing bad luck to the tables. I don't know why I wasn't expecting as much romance, because this is very first and foremost a romance film because of course the premise is that he falls in love and he brings good luck. Which I thought was pretty interesting. I like the film. I like the acting, but it's not really anything I'd watch again. Like, cause I thought the character dynamics and the acting was good. But yeah, it was pretty well written too. And I like the ending and how that happens with Ganey coming in, because I just love that scenario of like people coming in and just wanting to steal your money after you've been big at a casino, just to spoil the film. But I liked it.
I haven't seen this in a very long time. I did read the wiki, like I told you I would, and yeah, I have no recollection of this film at all. I remember thinking it was just okay. I really thought, I agree with Doug, that the actors, if I remember correctly, raised the script above a level. I found it very dull. I thought it was weird chemistry between Bellow and William H. Macy. I just never bought that relationship throughout the film. And I mean, nothing. And it's, I mean, Alec Baldwin could save anything. I'll give him credit. He's always good in all his scenes. And MC Ganey is one of those guys who goes, who is that? I'm like, it's MC Ganey, you morons. Look up at IMDb occasionally. He's always excellent. So I didn't want to revisit The Coup. I was thinking about it. I'm like, no, I remember not really liking it. So no, I didn't revisit it. So, I mean, if you're like Doug and me and have to watch every film about casinos because we love them, I think it's watchable, but I don't think it's great. I think it's forgettable, like I did. I've kind of forgotten it after watching it 10 years ago, wherever it came out, I saw it and just didn't want to go back to it.
Yeah, so like 18 years ago.
Oh, so it was a long time ago I saw it. Yeah. Probably a DVD rental then, Blockbuster. Mm. Okay. I think that we're it, guys. We're done. We're ending on the
paper. No, we have one more movie after this.
Hold on.
Oh,
I haven't talked about it yet.
Score.
Jeez. I bought this movie years ago. What?
You're cooling me off.
Well, I haven't seen I bought this movie, but I haven't seen it. Can I talk?
I think it's the internet, Bob. I just think it's a weird connection. You're good to talk, though.
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I bought this movie years ago, but I hadn't seen it until this week or last week. I agree with both Simon and Doug on this because, like, it's an okay movie. The actors bring the script up, but Alec Baldwin's character reminds me of two other movies that he portrayed the same type of character in: Rock of Ages and Chick Fight. And there was one other one.
Saying Alec Baldwin's been typecast
a little? No?
Okay.
You don't think so? Okay. I like the concept about him 100%. Being the, like, he goes to a table and they start losing. I like the concept. So the what? Okay. Never mind. Go on.
Nothing? Okay.
I do not remember this movie.
Yeah, I think I picked it for the concept. So as long as people like the concept, I'm happy.
It looked familiar, but I don't remember it at all.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's not quite midnight, but it's 11 p.m., so are we ready for our almost midnight run?
Oh, my God, I totally forgot this was on the list.
Yeah,
it was about to... This will teach me to change rooms and not have my notes.
Yeah, Midnight Run, directed by Martin Brest and written by George Gallo, starring Robert De Niro, Charles Grodin, Yaphet Kotto, John Ashton, Dennis Farina, and Joe Pantoliano.
Okay. I friggin' love Midnight Run. This is my go-to movie. If I'm at somebody's house and they said they've never seen it, I'm like, put on Midnight Run. I watched this with my buddy a couple years ago. He's like, this is so funny. The jokes never stop. What perfect casting. De Niro at his best. Charles Grodin doing what he does best, annoying the crap out of people. Joe Pantoliano being typecast. Perfect. This film is just so much fun. And you know what? Without Yaphet Kotto, this film would not work. It works. Every scene has a solid gag in it. They do like a Trains, Planes, and Automobiles thing. All the jokes work in it. It makes me laugh. At the same time, having action all the time. It never stops taking its foot off the gas from beginning to the end. It makes perfect sense to me. I love the feeling I get. I believe these characters are real. I believe they form a bond by the end of the film. I believe the crime really worked. I believe everything happens in this film for a reason. So for this film is in my top 20 films of all times for a reason. Yeah. It's amazing. I would give this film a 10 out of 10, a stronger man. Just watch it. And don't handcuff people on airplanes. That's all I have to say. Huh.
Kevin? You guys want a fun bit of trivia?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Love
trivia.
This movie came out on the exact same day as Die Hard.
Oh, really? Oh,
really?
Yes. So you could have gotten
wow, to the cinema. I wonder on my list.
Seen Die Hard and Midnight Run.
That would have been a great double bill.
I saw yes. Midnight Run on video, or probably video or DVD. No, video for sure. But I saw Die Hard in theaters twice.
So I would say one of my best nights as a parent was showing Midnight Run to my kids and having them like it just as much as I did. I'm a huge Robert De Niro fan, and this is probably the movie that turned me into a De Niro fan when I was a little kid. Yeah. I love this movie. Charles Grodin is amazing. And John Ashton, he's done his best work with Martin Brest. He with this and Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop, John Ashton has never been better. And I wish that other directors could use him as well as Martin Brest does. But I love this movie. It's just filled with so many great character actors. Like Simon said, the jokes work, the action work. It's just, it's great.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I probably saw it. I might have seen this on TV when I was a kid, but I don't remember movies I saw when I was a kid. So this is, I'm counting this as my first time watching it. It's been on my watch list for a while. I wanted to honor Charles Grodin in a way because he passed away probably, what, a month ago, I think? So I was I've always wanted to watch this. Might as well watch his best known role. And yeah, he is perfectly cast here with the dry humor. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of my favorite movies. So just incorporating that kind of road trip structure and premise, and just all the obstacles thrown into them with just such an interesting aspect of the bounty hunters. I think it's such a great film. And it's very funny. There's a lot of action, like everybody's been saying. Very interesting that came out on the same day as Die Hard. So, but this isn't a Christmas movie. But no, yeah, I like this film a lot. And yeah, I'm glad I finally watched it.
I don't have too much to add. It's a classic. Great casting. It was kind of one of those buddy cop films before buddy cop films became a big thing.
Sure.
It precedes like Beverly Hills Cop and Lethal Weapon and 48 Hours and all those other movies that did much bigger box office in the 80s. But I think this was kind of like the tip of the iceberg. It was the start of the trend.
Okay. Oh, Islanders won, I think.
Islanders won. I'm a little late because we're in overtime. So I haven't seen the overtime goal because I'm doing the show. So I didn't. I stopped watching the game for a few minutes. But game seven, boys, coming up.
Nice.
The Hagner barbecue, the Hagner Honor barbecue party is on.
Nice.
I'm bringing steaks.
I just had a quick question about Midnight Run. Joe Pantoliano, you know, or however you say his last name, him drinking Pepto-Bismol, is that why he drinks Pepto-Bismol on Bad Boys? Did he bring that aspect of his character from this film? Because I was like, oh, hey, maybe that's where his trademark started. I don't know.
Did Bob talk about this movie and I missed it while watching the Islander game?
No.
Like Bob talked about it.
Bob, go ahead.
No, I haven't. I just have to agree with everybody. He did.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, jeez. I just have to agree with everyone. I hadn't seen it until now, 1988. How many years ago? Like 30 some odd years ago now. But I really enjoyed it. Like as everybody said it, like Daniel said, it was like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which I really enjoyed too. So this became like by the end of it, by the middle, it was becoming a buddy movie, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm glad. Whoever put it on the list, I'm glad. I guess Daniel. It was a great movie. I loved it.
Yay.
Good. Good to hear. I'm glad we're already finally once on the show. We all agree. It's great news.
Yeah, so nobody suffers from fistophobia.
Let you guys, Before I let you go and give us our big famous now statement, just so everybody knows, you can email us at extrafeatures@gmail.com. I know you're listening. Please leave us an iTunes review. It's really easy. Or leave us even a comment on the website saying, I suck. At least I know you're live. That's it. Until Doug sees Loki 3, well, part 3 of the series, if they make it.
We all look at a white woman's Instagram.
True. Good night, all.